since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Let's talk UFC. Some big news coming out over the weekend. UFC 278 will come to Salt Lake City August 20th, Vivint Smart Home Arena, home of the Utah Jazz. It's the first UFC event being held in the state since 2016 when we had UFC Fight Night. It's only the second UFC event in Utah state history. We will talk about the main event, which could be historical. Kamaru Usman will be on the main event, going toe-to-toe with Leon Edwards. He's chasing down Anderson Silva's record of 16 consecutive UFC victories. Joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have Larry Pepe, one of the finest MMA minds you'll come across, kind enough to join us once again. Larry, great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. And I have to say, you know, you reached out to me a while back about Usman getting booked in Salt Lake, and I got to give props to you, man. I looked everywhere. No one had that. So whoever your sources were and whatever work you did on the ground definitely was on the money.
Yeah, from time to time, I tend to get some inside information. I've been waiting for this to be officially announced for quite some time. And one of the reasons I reached out to you, Larry, is because, as I just mentioned a moment ago, it could be historical because Usman, with 15 straight UFC victories, one behind Anderson Silva's record of 16. He could accomplish that right here in Utah, but we haven't had a UFC event since 2016. My initial question to you, why Salt Lake for this particular event?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons. First, the state of the world with everything that we all went through with respect to COVID and different jurisdictions having different levels of restriction and hoops that a promoter would have to jump through. I think you will see the UFC take a safe approach. As the year goes on, they will probably go to destinations that they feel, if there is any spike in numbers or anything like that, that nothing significant in terms of restriction will be placed on them, where they'd have to move an event in the 11th hour or whatever the case might be. So my guess is that they see Salt Lake as a safe market in that regard. As far as Usman being booked in Salt Lake, I think Kamaru Usman is, you know, this isn't a hot take, he's the best welterweight in the world. As you mentioned, he's staring down history. He's looked phenomenal. He's been dominant on his run, never lost in the UFC. This fight with Edwards is a heck of a fight. We can talk about that in a moment. But at the end of the day, is Kamaru Usman a top draw in the UFC? Not really. I think his fight style, although it has definitely gotten more exciting and more interesting as he's developed his striking, as he's become more of a finisher. At the same time, not a big trash talker, right? Which, you know, you can like that, not like that, just is what it is. And you know better than me, Jordan, because you follow boxing more. You know, pretty boy Floyd Mayweather couldn't sell ice to Eskimos, and then couldn't sell anything to anybody, quite frankly. And then when he became Money Mayweather and took on that persona, he became the richest, most successful boxer in the history of boxing, right? So that stuff counts in terms of marketability. So I think going to a destination where they can hope to build that area, and at the same time, it's not a destination where, for example, you would put a Conor McGregor or a fight of that magnitude in terms of potential high dollar price tags for tickets. I think Usman's a perfect fit. And here's the big win, I think, for the Utah fans that are going to go to the card locally. When you get, you know, people kind of miss this sometimes. When you get a McGregor or when you get a Masvidal, you get a very highly paid athlete at the top of a card. Sometimes you actually get a weaker card because the UFC is going to look at that card and say, well, how much are we, you know, budgeting? Well, if we're giving a ton of money to the main event, we're not going to be putting top-notch, big-dollar, big-name fighters as frequently down the rest of the card because we've kind of spent that, if you will, on the main event. Now, I'm not saying Usman doesn't make money. Of course he does. But because it's not a massive draw, I think you're going to get, as the fights get announced, some really compelling fights on the card and a deeper card in general, because at the end of the day, it is a pay-per-view, not a fight night card. And when you get a fight night card, sometimes you get a lot of no names or debuting fighters or fighters who don't have much of a following or much of a history in the UFC. Almost all the way down the card. We've had a couple of those this year. But when it's a pay-per-view, you still got to sell tickets. And if you don't think Usman Edwards is going to sell all those tickets on its own, which it will not, then you have to stack the card in order to create the level of interest you want to sell out that arena and have the energy on the pay-per-view that you want to have. So I think in some ways it's a win-win for Utah because you get the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. You get the best welterweight in the world. You get a title fight between two guys who fought 7 years ago, I believe. And since then, combined, they have not lost a fight. They have gone 22-0 and won no contest with Edwards when he fought Bilal Muhammad. So you're getting a hell of a fight, but at the same time, because it's not a fight with names that have people whipping out their wallet, I think the UFC is going to have to stack this card, and I think you're going to get a hell of a card with the best welterweight in the world at the top of it, and that to me is definitely a win-win.
Again, Larry Pepe, our guest right now, as we talk about UFC 278. Again, it has been officially announced coming to Salt Lake City on August 20th. The card headlined by Usman and Edwards. You mentioned this being a good fight. Larry, I talked about Usman and how dominant this guy has been. 19-fight win streak, 15 consecutive in the UFC. You talked about kind of making that transition to a finisher. I mean, there was a long stretch where we're talking about Usman getting wins by unanimous decision. Leon Edwards, on the flip side, he has not lost since falling to Usman back in 2015. He's gone 9-0-1 during that time frame. The first thing that stands out to me in this, he hasn't fought in over a year. Does that worry you at all?
Yeah, a little bit. And I'll tell you what worries me more if I'm an Edwards fan is his fight against Nate Diaz. I mean, yes, he dominated the first four rounds of the fight, looked sharp. He's a very technical striker, a good striker. But Nate Diaz has no power. When Nate Diaz finishes people, it's usually because of a real accumulation of punishment with volume. And he hurt Edwards with one punch in the fifth round and had him in trouble. And, man, if you're Kamaru Usman, you got to be licking your lips because if Nate Diaz was able to hurt Edwards, Usman has shown in the Masvidal fight, for example, where he absolutely flatlined Masvidal in the second fight and put him out unconscious. And I think that the big weapon that we've seen Kamaru develop is the jab. And he actually knocked Gilbert Burns down with the jab that led to the fight-ending sequence. If you're Usman and you know you have those weapons and you watch that Edwards-Diaz fight and you saw Nate Diaz, who is not a power puncher of any sort whatsoever, hurt Edwards in the fifth round, man, you got to be licking your chops, and if you're an Edwards fan, you got to be holding your breath that whole time.
That's great perspective. Going back to what you said about a year ago, right? Nate Diaz landed, it was a right hand that kind of changed the, Is it fair to say changed the momentum of the fight? Because, I mean, obviously, Edwards, he was well in control going into that fifth round.
100%. I mean, you know, Edwards was absolutely in control. And look, you know, of course, where we acknowledge that anybody can get caught, we acknowledge that these are 4-ounce gloves, but, man, I would defy anybody to go back in a Nate Diaz fight, and Nate Diaz has fought God knows how many times in the UFC, well over 20 times. Go back and please find me a Nate Diaz fight where with one punch, he hurt anybody. It just doesn't happen. It's an acute. He is not a power puncher. He's a very technical striker. He's got good boxing, and he overwhelms you. You know, you go back and look at the Gray Maynard fight. You go back and look in all of his fights, when he hurts somebody, it's because of an accumulation of damage. It's not he's got that one punch hurt you power. And he hurt Leon Edwards, and that's shocking, quite frankly. And that suggests that Edwards' chin is maybe not as rock solid as you would hope it is. And when you look at the body of work that Usman has started to develop, hurting Colby Covington with his hands, you know, flatlining Masvidal, as I mentioned, knocking down Gilbert Burns with a jab, those things do not portend good things for Leon Edwards. So then you say, well, what about the wrestling? Well, that's not close. You know, when they fought the first time, Usman used his wrestling to dominate. Now, give credit to Edwards. His wrestling has improved tenfold since the first fight. But can he out-wrestle Kamaru Usman? Absolutely not. So Usman has the advantage there. He's got the advantage with the power. But Edwards, I believe, is the more technical striker. Better at range, better movement, and if he can keep the fight on the feet, then we have a fight that comes down to Edwards' ability to win rounds, because I don't think he's going to finish Usman, versus Usman's ability to find that shot and put him out. And I think that makes for an incredibly compelling main event.
Larry, before I let you go, here we are talking about UFC 278. I mean, obviously, a lot of interest, people around the state excited, but we still have 276 and 277 to come beforehand. Anything on those two cards which has been announced at this particular time that catches your attention?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one to me is the Volkanovski-Max Holloway number 3, right? I mean, I am not in the camp of people who think that Max Holloway beat Volkanovski the second time. He did not. I believe Volkanovski very clearly won 3 of the 5. The first fight was all Volkanovski, not close. But I have to tell you, the Max Holloway that we have seen since then, who fought Calvin Kattar and put on an absolute bell-to-bell clinic. I mean, I think perhaps the best performance of Max Holloway's career, which has aged well because Calvin Kattar has looked great since, right? And then we saw him in the Yair Rodriguez fight where he looked phenomenal as well. And Max has taken a different approach in his training where he's not really sparring as much. And boy, talk about benefiting him. He has looked absolutely phenomenal. Then you go to the other side of the ledger and you look at Alexander Volkanovski, who has looked damn near flawless, right, in his reign as champion. And I don't know how not to be super excited about that fight. You know, it's not that often, as you know, Jordan, whether it's boxing or MMA, that we get a trilogy when one fighter is 2-0. But yeah, we're getting that.
Yeah, never happens. Never happens.
No, it's always got to be 1-1, and this is the rubber match, right? And now here we are getting a third fight between these two. And I think what excites me about the fight is I think we're getting both of them better than they've ever been. So, you know, one of the things we were always disappointed about, especially on the boxing side, is sometimes we get fights like Manny and Floyd, when you go, man, this would have been awesome 5 years ago or 4 years ago, but at least we're getting it. But we know we're not getting them at their prime. We are getting these two guys who know each other incredibly well, who have spent 10 rounds inside the cage, 50 minutes with each other. And we're getting them literally at the best we've ever seen either one of them fight. And I think there's a really good argument that if Alexander Volkanovski beats Max in this fight, I don't know how you would not say that he is the best in history at 145 pounds. And you can perhaps start to make that argument for Max if he beats Alex, although Alex would hold two wins over him. So I think there's so much on the line in terms of the history of the featherweight division and these two guys being primed, knowing each other so well, and I think coming into what should be an absolutely phenomenal title fight.
Larry Pepe, again, our guest right now as we talk UFC 276, 277, and of course 278 coming to Salt Lake August 20th. Usman Edwards, there'll be plenty more to talk about in the meantime, but Larry, it is always a pleasure to get you on the show. Love the expertise, love the conversation. I really appreciate it. Before I let you go, of course, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Oh, simple. Just go to PepeRadio.com, and you can sign up for my email list. And then anytime I put out different podcasts or appear on great shows like yours, I put it out through that so that I can communicate directly with people who follow me.
Larry, thank you so much. Can't wait to do it again soon. Have a great day.
Sounds great, buddy.
Let's pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.